boss here, Mr. Springsteen, and our great guest, John Weiner, is an employment attorney with the firm of Weiner, McKenna, Barrett, and Tillis is with us. He's a big Bruce Springsteen fan, by the way, and it's a pleasure to have him. So, John, let's get into this a little bit, because John mostly handles things related to employment and employee advocacy. So can you share with the audience a case where it was pretty egregious sexual abuse to the point of which, you know, we're hearing about some of our celebrities?
Right. We've had a number of cases with very egregious sexual abuse. It generally, the more egregious sexual abuse can pretty much only happen when it's a he said, she said, because it always happens behind closed doors. Or if in a restaurant, it could be in the walk-in refrigerator. And we've had many cases where there's been rapes, and multiple rapes on multiple occasions, and really terrible, terrible misconduct. That happens more with smaller companies than big companies, but it can still happen with big companies too, and especially officers of those companies who get a little power crazy.
Wow. When you say multiple, the same person was being attacked, or you just did it to other employees?
Oh, no. There's cases where the same person is attacked on multiple occasions. There's people that have a hard time sticking up for themselves in the workplace, and that's why we have these laws to protect them. But there's also a whole group of perpetrators out there who think that they can get away with abusing the employees, and they really can, because most of the times, particularly the women they choose to abuse, are single mothers or
need the job desperately.
Need the job, and it makes it very, very vulnerable. And that's how something that resembles a rape can happen more than once.
Wow. So there's such a fear factor on the person that's being perpetrated upon, that they're afraid to come forward, afraid to do anything. So, but in this case, this person eventually did seek your counsel?
Right. Well, there's been multiple cases where there's been rapes or very, very severe sexual abuse like we've heard since the Me Too movement. But obviously, it's been happening for a long time. And yes, we've had actual rapes where the police get involved. And on multiple occasions.
So now you're not filing a sexual abuse case. It becomes a criminal case.
Right. Now, we don't handle the criminal case.
Right, of course.
The district attorney does that, but the two cases can run parallel.
Right.
And in cases that we also have a lot of cases against doctors and psychotherapists who sexually abuse their patients, and other healthcare providers who sexually abuse their patients. And really, the damage from that kind of sexual abuse is tremendous. Those cases often look consensual from the outside until we call psychiatrists and psychologists to explain that it can never be consensual for a professional in a position of power to have a sexual relationship with an employee or with a patient, no matter who it is or what it is. And there's this thing called the transference process, where the patient transfers special feelings they have onto the therapist or doctor, feelings they have for their parents, and that puts that doctor or therapist in a position of tremendous power, in a very similar way that employers have tremendous power over their employees.
So regardless if they want to scream mutuality, it's always on the person in power.
Right. And then I've testified in Sacramento on many occasions on bills and legislation to make it a criminal offense for doctors and therapists to have sex with their patients.
Oh, good for you.
That was not true until I think the early 90s or late 80s.
And I imagine there are cases where, especially with a therapist, a psychiatrist, a vulnerable patient can really fall for their doctor.
Right.
But too bad, the doctor's culpable and that's it.
Right. The doctor always has to maintain the boundaries. The same way in the employment setting, the boss ultimately has the responsibility to set proper boundaries. And a lot of big corporations I've had cases against just have flagrant sexual harassment problems because they have very weak human resource departments and they don't take it seriously enough.
Right. So for listeners out there now, what should they document it immediately? Rape is pretty serious. So let's just say it begins with harassment and then moves on to abuse.
The rape can just happen out of nowhere.
Just happens out of nowhere.
Right.
So at that moment, what should that employee or subordinate do?
Yeah. Okay. Well, if we're in that kind of serious sexual abuse situation, There should be some effort made to, and it's not the owner of the company doing it, there should be some effort to talk to the owner of the company. If there's an HR department, you know, it may not work, may not be a great HR department, but in that situation, it's all you can do. And then to go to the police. If there's been actual sexual assault where there's been touching of breasts, buttocks, or genitals, that's a sexual assault if it's unwelcomed.
Right.
Even if it looks welcomed. If it's unwelcomed, it is sexual assault. And the police sometimes do prosecute these cases, or the DA does.
So let's say there's somebody out there right now who has been sexually assaulted, even the boss touched a breast, let's say, groped. So should that person document it? HR sounds like it could be dangerous. That specific person, John, what should they do?
You know, there's on the documentation issue, there's no easy answer. If the patient does document a bunch of incidents, then the company's going to claim that they were setting up the company for a lawsuit all along. If the company, if the person doesn't document it, then the company's going to claim it didn't happen. You know, given the choice, it's always better to document rather than to not document. And in a case like that, it's better to get the advice of an attorney right away, especially if you're still employed, because the attorney can help you start building your case while you're still working there. And you can still work at a company while you're suing them, which, by the way, very uncomfortable for the company.
And which, by the way, you'll feel much more secure once you have an attorney giving you guidance.
Oh, right. Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. All right. So we're talking about sexual harassment, sexual abuse, things related to employees. And I think we have Roland on the line. And Roland, we have John Weiner with us, employment law expert. What is going on, Roland? And how are you this evening?
I'm doing okay, thank you.
Okay, well, you sound very subdued. Okay, do you have a question for our guest expert, John Weiner?
This is about converting from regular employees to on contract.
1099s? Is that your question? Okay, how many?
I have a physician business, a small office practice, and I have both front and back desk staff, and also a physician working under me. And I was wondering if they can all be put on contract on 1099, or just the physician, or what are the companies?
And right now they're W-2 employees?
Yes.
Okay, John?
So this is a wage and hour issue, which is a little bit out of my expertise, but I'm a small business owner myself. I have about 20 employees. And I'm pretty sure what the law is that if an independent contractor for all purposes is treated like an employee, then there is a chance that would not be permitted. Also, if the person works over 20 hours a week, I know there's limitations on whether you can 1099 them or not. But
what about a physician that I have working under me? Is that easier than...
No, the fact that it's a physician... Yeah, the fact that it's a physician should not matter.
No.
Because you're not protected under laws that would normally protect physicians, because you're not providing medicine, right?
And John, do you think his accountant or CPA might have good information? It sounds a little dangerous, that just for me as a layman.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you should consult with a lawyer.
Hours? If I tell them they could set their own hours, does that make a difference? Or
I mean, this is something which I really think you should seek the advice of an attorney, but it needs to be a defense attorney.
A defense attorney who
represents companies.
Who represents you.
Right. Not a criminal defense attorney.
No, but an attorney that has your best interests at heart and advocates for you.
Okay,
hey, Roland, thanks a lot. I appreciate you calling, and give us a call next week. Tell us how that's working out. All right?
Okay.
Have a nice evening,
Roland. The same as it has been.
Yes. Whatever you said, I agree. Thanks, Roland. Appreciate it. All right, so how are we doing, Wayman, on time? We have 1 minute left. Wrap it up. He's giving me the twirling finger. Wrap it up. Okay, we're here with the great John Weiner. And get this down, WMLawyers.com, WMLawyers.com. He's senior partner of the firm of Weiner, McKenna, Barrett, and Tillis. I'm Stan Katzer, Talk Radio 790 KABC. Come back on the other side. We're going to pay some bills. Thank you.